Good morning. Do we have any parish notices to come forth this morning?
The election supper, as you know, is Tuesday night, the November 4th, and we need 20 pies. No, we need 18 pies. There's only two that signed up, so we need some pie donations.
Thank you, Linda. Any other parish notices? In your bulletin, we're going to have a slight change under proclamation and praise. We'll go with the anthem right after our hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See, and then Mr. Reed will have the scripture as part of his sermon. So it'll be anthem, then the scripture. Any other parish notices? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of days, ancient and new, speak to us your ancient words of wisdom. Help us hear afresh Christ's message of love and servanthood. Soften our hearts to sense your presence. Open our eyes to see your guiding hand. Open our ears to hear your call. Change our lives to follow your path of justice and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. O God, you have been our dwelling place in every generation.
For everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or the earth had shape and form, you were there.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like a watch in the night.
From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Let us worship the everlasting God, the God of yesterday, tomorrow, and today. Let's join together in hymn number 156, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
this time, let's take a moment to greet each other in God's house in the passing of the peace. If we could have the children come forward for the children's moment, Lynn will take us through that part of the service.
Good morning. I'm just glad somebody showed up today. I was getting a little worried when I looked back there. Well, today we're going to talk about a heart check. In my little bag, I have a special tool. Does anybody know what this is? What is this? It's a big name. It's a big name. A heart checker. That's right. It's a heart checker. That's right. That's wrong. It's a stethoscope. Have you ever been to the doctor and seen a stethoscope? Yes? Yeah. All right. Well, that's who uses a stethoscope. A doctor? Maybe who else? A nurse? A dentist might? How about a veterinarian? Do you think a veterinarian uses one of these? Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, what do they do with it? Check your heart. They look on the inside. That's right. They look on the inside of our bodies and hear if there's any issues. You know, we may look healthy on the outside, mightn't we? We may look good. But sometimes on the inside, this little tool maybe tells us something might be wrong. Well, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, we maybe go to the doctor. I bet you guys go to the doctor about once a year. And when you go to the doctor, what might they do? Yes. Oh, give you a flu shot? You're brave. They give you a flu shot. Maybe they check to see how tall you've gotten. Maybe they check to see how much you weigh. And I bet they look in your ears and up your nose and down your throat. Or eyes. They look in your eyes. You guys are a smart group. That's all there is to it. But you know what? Then they listen with this. And sometimes it feels like they've had this in the refrigerator, doesn't it? When they stick it out on you, it's really cold. But what they're doing is they're listening to your heart, and they're seeing if there's any issues with your heart. And sometimes there might be an issue with your heart that might need medication that might help it. And sometimes you might have to have an operation. I know my little grandsons have a cousin, Madison, and I know many of you prayed for Madison, and she had a big heart surgery, and the doctors have fixed her heart. And you know what else? Sometimes people get brand new hearts. Isn't that just lovely and wonderful that God made doctors that can do that for us? That's just awesome. Well, I want to talk about a person from the Bible that you might know, David. Have you ever heard of David before? Yeah. David was a shepherd boy that became a king. And probably the story you remember most about David is that he slew Goliath with a slingshot. Do you remember that story from the Bible? Well, you know what? David loved God with all his heart. But sometimes he had some things in his heart that didn't belong there. You know, David had what we might call heart trouble. He had some heart trouble. Not the kind that you're going to be able to hear with this stethoscope, but he had heart trouble. He maybe had some things in there that he knew weren't good. They were bad and they were wicked. He did some not such good things. But he knew that he did that, and so he went to someone to fix his heart. He went to God. He asked God, God, I need you to create in me a clean heart and give me a right spirit so that I will try to do what you want me to do. You know, sometimes we have heart trouble, not the kind you have to go to the doctor for, but sometimes we have maybe greed or anger or bitterness or jealousy or greed, and we might have to go to God and ask him to clean out our heart. So remember King David, and that we can always go to God and ask him to give us a clean heart. Okay, how about if we come together and we'll have our prayer? You've been such a good group, a smart group you are. Okay, let's come down here. Good job. Can you hold hands here? All right. Dear God, we know that you can see in our hearts. And we know sometimes there's things in there that shouldn't be. Create in us a clean heart. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. At this time, it's a portion of our service where we have our joys and concerns, and those three young men are definitely a joy to watch, and they're awesome. And again, I just would like to share with joys and concerns. Until I came to this church, I've been involved with joys and concerns at other services, and nobody spoke. And since I've been here, it's always been a part of our service that I have really come to appreciate where we share. And again, it keeps us together and helps develop that bond as a church family. So Allison has the mic for us this morning. If you have a joy or concern, raise your hand, and she will bring the mic around, and we can share.
I do have a prayer concern for our neighbor and nephew, Gary Black. He's going in tomorrow morning for major surgery, so we need all the prayers.
Thank you.
Since I was too nasty to get the notice in the bulletin this morning, next Sunday, we will have men's breakfast again, and since I don't see Rick here today, Rick is going to be our featured speaker next Sunday. I always enjoy his impromptus. So if you want to help cook, be here at 7, and if you want to eat, just come in at 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, and I'm sure Rick appreciates that.
If we can keep Judy Farmer in our prayers, the death of her father, and I do know that calling hours are this afternoon from 2 to 8 at Ketchum's in Rockford. So keep her and their family, especially I know with John just having a brother die. So if we keep the family in our prayers.
Sorry. Also, can you keep Will in his your prayers? He's having eye surgery this Wednesday.
Do that.
Yeah, and sis, she had an ablation done on her heart Thursday, and she's out here in the nursing home. They brought her out here yesterday, and she's going to be out here for probably 2 weeks to recover from that. She went through it okay. But she's in the first room as you go in the main entrance there on the left-hand side. So keep her in your prayers. And my daughter, she's doing great now. She's starting to get a little more energy and everything, but still retained a lot of water from her heart surgery. But they said she's going to put up with that for a while. So, but she's finally getting out and getting around and doing things now. So she's doing well.
Good. Good. Other joys and concerns?
Shiv has a birthday Wednesday. He's going to be as old as Bob Rice.
And as we're passing the mic up here to Glenn, Heather, are all three of those yours? Outstanding. It's great to see you and have them with us. Great young gentleman. Glenn?
Well, I guess I have a joy today. Yesterday, I was combining beans, and about 2:30, I was headed west into the wind, and when I turned around, I smelled smoke. Well, you know, when you smell smoke on a combine, you kind of come alert in a hurry. And I could see smoke drifting up behind me. So I got out and took a look, and I seen smoke coming from somewhere up underneath the shroud and up toward the engine compartment. And I thought, well, called the emergency or the 911 and got Scott Fire Department on their way right away. And so I grabbed my water bottle I care have in there for, you know, for drinking and stuff. And what I found was, when I discovered where the fire was, it was where chaff had built up on the frame. And apparently a belt, it built up tight enough that a belt had caused enough friction and caught it on fire. And it was just a smolder, and there was no blaze or anything. So I started pouring a little water on it and knocking it down onto the ground. Well, that was a mistake, because the straw there started catching on fire, but it was a little damp on the ground, so it didn't burn very fast. So I got the fire out, and about that time, it was pretty well under control, and about that time, the fire department, they pulled in, and so we doused her down a little bit, and we thought we had it all out, and they said, well, make a round, we'll see. And somebody happened to look up toward the front end of the machine, and there was smoke. And apparently the wind was strong enough that when I was knocking some of that chaff down, it must have blown up there in the header. And there was a spot up there burning. So we kind of give it a bath out there in the field and stuff like that. But my joy is it was no damage or anything. We lost a little time and stuff like that. I thank the Scott Fire Department for being right there and helping me out. And that's my advice to anybody out here that's running a combine. Keep a little water in that combine someplace for drinking and for other things too, because it did. That's what the boys from the fire department said. Hey, that little bit of water saved the day. So and I'm grateful for the way it turned out. Thank you.
Just to piggyback off of that, you know, yesterday traveled to Tiffin to watch our cross-country runners participate at the regional level, and a lot of farmers out in the fields with this opportunity, this window of opportunity, and that's a joy that we have this good weather. But we want to keep it as a concern too, because we know that it is a window and our farmers are working very, very hard. And from back in the day as a freshman ag student, it was the first time I heard from my freshman ag teacher, or not freshman, but my ag teacher, sometimes you got to burn the midnight oil, and that's what our farmers are doing right now. So let's keep them in our prayers as well as they take advantage of this opportunity to get the crops off. Any other joys or concerns? Yes. Awesome. Okay. Great, great. All right, yes, that's a good one. Let us show our appreciation for Allison for carrying the mic this morning. Thank you. Let us go to the Lord at this time in silent prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning with many joys and concerns. And again, it is a great opportunity for us to come together and share those and share that bond that we have with each other and most importantly with you. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our silent prayers. And we ask you to increase our faith as we lift up the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let us stand at this time for hymn number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. Seated, and at this time we'll proceed with our anthem, and then Mr. Reed will be up with our scripture and our sermon.
Well, a hearty good morning to each and every one of you, and a special welcome on this Layman's Sunday. You notice in the bulletin that my subject is prayer, not an unusual subject. You might ask, well, how did you come up with that? It wasn't the first thing that came into my mind. But sometimes things just kind of fall together. On Thursday nights, we've been having a Bible study, and our Bible study has basically been on prayers. In fact, the title of the study is The Prayers of Jesus. Last Sunday, one of my star pupils came into my Sunday school class, namely Wilmer Bowers, and he brought some things that he thought ought to be brought to our attention. And one of those things was a statement that goes like this: prayer is the most powerful thing on earth. Now, I thought I'd tell you a true story here that illustrates both the fact of what of these statements here. Well, also, now the very short scripture is the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now you translate that, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. This story is of Dallas Theological Seminary. Today, Dallas Theological Seminary is regarded as one of the outstanding Christian, conservative, evangelical seminaries in the country. But when the Dallas Seminary was in its early days of formation, mainly back in 1924, it was in economic trouble. They were facing a bankruptcy. And in fact, the creditors had set 12 o'clock noon on a particular day as the day that they would foreclose. The morning of that day, why the people who established the Dallas Theological Seminary got together in the president's office and decided to pray, have a prayer meeting that somehow God would provide. There was a man in that prayer meeting by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside, and when it came his turn to pray, he said, "We know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle and send the money to us." That was his prayer. Possibly a little less than an hour after that, now nearing the 12 o'clock noontime, a big tall Texan walks into the outside office, the secretary's office, and said howdy to the secretary, and he said, and announced where he said, "I've just sold 2 carloads of cattle down in Fort Worth. I've been trying to put a business deal together, but it just won't work. Somehow I feel like God wants me to give you this money. And so here is the check. I don't know whether you need it, but here's a check." The secretary took the check to the door, kind of timidly knocked, knowing that the men were in there in prayer. The president then was a man by the name of Schaefer. He came to the door, took the check, looked at the check, and it was the exact amount of money of the debt they owed. He looked over and he looked down at the signature, and he noticed that he knew this cattleman. And he looked over at Dr. Ironsides and he said, "Harry, God just sold the cattle." So a true story there. I think it's time that I go to prayer here this morning. Our Father who art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
Yes, but you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm just praying, Our Father who art in heaven.
There, you see, you did it again.
Did what?
You called me. You said, "Our Father who art in heaven." So here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, kind of like doing my duty.
Really? Is that the way you feel about it? Well, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. Can I ask you what you mean by that?
By what?
By saying, "Hallowed be thy name."
Why, of course. It means, good grief, I guess I don't know what it means. It's just part of the prayer. I always say it. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful. By saying it, you want everybody, including yourself, to honor my name, to keep it holy, that my name would be held in reverence and respect.
Hey, you know what? That makes sense. I guess I never thought of Hallowed Be Thy Name that way before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Woo! Stop a minute. Do you really mean that?
Sure, I guess so. Why not?
Well, what are you doing about it?
Doing? Well, nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got things under control down here, just like you have in heaven.
Do I have control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you about. About the bad temper that you have and the way you always put people down. You really do have a problem there. And then there's the way you always spend your money. Always on yourself. And what about the kind of TV shows you watch?
Hey, wait a minute, Lord. Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those hypocrites in church.
Excuse me, but I thought you were just praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with those who are praying for it, like I thought you were.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have a few hang-ups. In fact, now that you mention it, I could probably think of some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought of it very much until now, but I really would like to quit doing some of those things. I would like to, you know, be free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Together, we can stop those things. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this, Criticize Me Day? Here I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Well, by some standards, praying could be considered a dangerous thing. You could wind up being changed. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I'm scared too.
Scared? Of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What about Bill?
See? I knew it. I knew you would bring him up. Why, Lord, he's told lies about me. He's cheated me out of money. He hasn't never paid me back for what he owes me, the debt that he owes me. I've sworn to get even with him.
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying that load of bitterness around inside of you, is it?
No, but I'll feel better as soon as I get even. Boy, have I got some plans cooked up for old Bill. He'll wish he never did me any harm.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all of that.
You can? How?
Forgive Bill. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate and sin will be Bill's problem and not yours. You may lose the money, but you will have settled your heart.
But Lord, I can't forgive Bill.
Then I can't forgive you either.
Oh, all right. You're right. You always are. And more than I want revenge on Bill, I want to be right with you. Oh, all right. All right, I forgive Bill. Help him to find the right road in life, Lord. He's bound to be awful miserable now that I think about it. Anybody who goes around doing the things he does to others has got to be out of it. Some way, somehow, Lord, show him the right way.
There now. That's wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. In fact, I feel pretty great. You know, I don't think I'll have to go to bed uptight tonight for the first time, well, in a long time. Maybe I won't be so tired from now on because I'm not getting enough rest.
You're not through with the prayer, though. Go on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
Well, quit hanging around the magazine rack where Playboy is sold. Change some of your friendships. Some of your so-called friends are beginning to get to you. They'll have you completely involved in wrong things before long. Don't be fooled. They advertise that they're having fun. But for you, it would be ruin. And don't use me as an escape hatch.
I don't understand.
Sure you do. You've done it lots of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get into trouble, in a jam, and you come running to me. Lord, please help me out of this mess, and I promise that I'll never do it again. You remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me?
Yes, and I'm ashamed, Lord. I really am.
Which bargain are you remembering?
Well, when the lady next door saw me coming out of the bar, I told my wife I was going to the store. I remember telling you, oh, please, God, don't let her tell my wife where I've been. I'll be in every church administrative board meeting for the next year.
And she didn't tell your wife, but you didn't keep your promise, did you?
I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. Up until now, I thought if I prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I liked. I didn't expect anything like this to happen.
Go ahead and finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want now to please you. I can see what a mess I've made of my life, and I can see how cool it would be to really be one of your followers.
You just answered the question.
I did?
Yes. The thing that would bring glory to me is to have people like you truly love me. And I see this happening between us. Now that some of these old sins are exposed and out of the way, well, there's no telling what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make of me, okay?
Yes, let's see.
Well, did you recognize the voice of God from the upper levels? Thanks, John, for being a part of our dialogue. We did this several years ago, as many of you probably can remember, and Coach Bowen over here then was God that day, but he's got demoted since then. He's just in charge of bike-a-thons and walk-a-thons and being our church lay leader now. But thanks, Coach, because and thanks, Lynn. Where'd Lynn go? Oh, back where she belongs. thanks for being the children's time, and we always thank Keith, and as the pastor does, Lynn and the choir. It takes two or three people to replace Pastor Greg whenever he's gone. And when he talked to me a couple weeks ago, if I'd filled in here, and I said, well, if all I had to do was maybe just the lay speech, maybe. I said, I didn't want the whole thing, and this old body and this old mind doesn't work so well anymore. But anyways, the dramatization, our narration, I hope, brought to you the most difficult part of the Lord's Prayer. You know, there are six petitions in that prayer, but the most difficult one is which one? Well, asking forgiveness or asking others, forgiving other people. Now, I suppose some of you say, well, there's some things that's just, it's just, we can't ask forgiveness. It's just too, they're just too much. I suppose one of these seemingly impossible persons to forgive would be an unfaithful spouse. Surely the shortest, quickest way to the attorney's office would be the answer. And how could you forgive a child molesting father or stepfather or an alcoholic mother who had embarrassed you and mistreated you? You say these are extremes. Yes, probably so. But how about the fellow worker at church who is in work? The fellow worker who has told stories about you, bad-mouthed you, just pack of lies in your opinion, and it cost you a promotion, or maybe even worse, you got you fired. Then there's the farmer who lost the farm because a competing farmer offered more cash rent than you were paying. Now you got two bills, don't you? You got the competing farmer who offered the additional cash rent, and you got the landlord who you thought you had treated so faithfully all these years and fairly. So you got two bills. And there are the many other ways in which you have felt that you've been hurt, belied, mistreated, cheated, and so forth and so forth and so on. Now, out in the men's world, I hear statements like, well, my time will come. I won't forget. I'll get even. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiving someone who has wronged you goes against our nature and our instincts. We all have this natural tendency to want to get even, revenge. To just say that I forgive you, that's too easy. That's lets them off the hook too easy. They've caused us to suffer. Why shouldn't we cause them to suffer? So where do we go to help for questions like this? You know, if my car and these cars got, you're getting more complicated all the time, something I can't figure out, something I've got an owner's manual to go to. And I'm a piece of farm machinery, I have trouble with it, Glenn has, I go to an operator's manual. And if it's a household appliance, I have an instruction manual. And on some of them, same manuals, there is a guarantee. You know, our manufacturer gave us an owner-operator's instruction manual guarantee. Now you play, well, I never thought of being manufactured. Well, okay, poor choice of word. Let's take it, our creator. We're told that we've been created in God's image. We're told that our bodies were knit together in our mother's womb. And so God has given us an owner-operator's instruction manual guarantee. Okay, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Some say it's I'm conning up the words, the owner-operator's instruction manual guarantee. Now, if I ask you this morning, what's the most noted, the most famous verse in the Bible, what would you tell me? John 3:16, wouldn't you? And I wouldn't disagree. However, at the top of my list of, I have a list of suggested memories, the number one on the is 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for all good works. Okay, all scripture is inspired by God. Now that's everything from this cover to the other cover. All 66 books, 35 authors, written over 1,600 years, written in three continents, written in three languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. That is inspired word of God. And so this is where we would turn for answers to our questions here about being able to handle this forgiveness. So if I go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and read, and I'm quoting now. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I, my brother, sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? End of quote. Now, since the rabbis had taught that, well, you should forgive three times, I think Peter probably thought, well, I'm being pretty generous in suggesting seven times. Jesus answered in verse 22, I do not say to you seven times, but what did he say? 70 times 7. Yes, you're good Bible study. 70 times 7. And when we were doing the Lord's Prayer dialogue, did you really get the part? It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And I'm quoting now. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forget you. And then we go back to chapter 18 again. Just as Jesus tells Peter how he needs to forgive 70 times 7, then Jesus launches into a parable, as he often did. I think he told about 33 parables in all in the Bible. I will try now to briefly, as accurately as I can, to tell you what he said in verses 23 through 34. He described a servant of a king who owed the king a very large sum of money. So large that even, is Bill Gates still alive? But someone like Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, would have a hard time paying it. In other words, an impossible debt to repay. Of course, the penalty for not paying the debt was prison. But this servant pleads with the king to have mercy with him, and the king does, and forgives the servant the entire debt. Time passes by. Now, this forgiven servant meets a fellow servant, a brother or sister who owes him maybe a couple thousand dollars. A debt that would be easy to be repaid if gifts given a little time. But the Bible says that the forgiven servant took him by the throat and demanded payment and had him thrown into prison. Now my question is, do you see the analogy of this parable? Who is the forgiven servant, the first forgiven servant? Is it not you and is it not me? Who's the king? Isn't it King Jesus? If we are born again Christians, Jesus has forgiven us such a debt that there is no way we can repay it. A huge debt created by our sins, past, present, and future, all washed away by his blood, was all nailed to that cross, and washing us whiter than snow. Of course, the prison that he delivered us from is the prison of hell. But then we have trouble forgiving our fellow men their trespasses. Jesus is very adamant at the end of this parable, and in verse 35 he says, that my heavenly Father will be very strict with you if you from your heart do not forgive your brother's trespasses. Now there's just a couple more points here, if you can hang on. I can't imagine any of you that's in here this morning not agreeing with our owner-operator's instruction manual guarantee, what's said in our Bible. But when you go out tomorrow outside of these four walls, you will to school, the workplace, whether it be an office, the factory, out on the farm, you may run into people who don't buy our owner-operator's instruction manual guarantee. And you may be trying to convince them of this forgiveness thing, that they need to forgive people. And you may be having a pretty rough time. Now, I want to suggest that you ask them the following question. And the question is, what is the emotion that's going on inside the person who is one unwilling to forgive? What is the emotion that's going on inside the person who is unwilling to forgive? And I believe if they are honest, and if you're honest, you'll come to the conclusion that the emotion is bitterness. And who does bitterness hurt? It doesn't hurt the one we're wanting to hurt in not forgiving them. It hurts the person who maintains the bitterness. Bitterness is a poison to the soul. Bitterness is a cancer to the mind. I have read where doctors believe that bitterness is the root cause of emotional, mental, and even physical illness. Well, we're down to the final point. You've all heard the expression, does he practice what he preaches? Now, who's been our teacher here this morning? Would we dare ask Jesus that question? Some of the last words of Jesus before dying on the cross are recorded in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, where it says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is our Bible's message on forgiveness as it applies to us in forgiving others. So take it or leave it. Here's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you.
Mr. Reed, thank you. You are a true treasure for us and for the Lord in sharing His word. And at this time, if our ushers would come forward, we'll collect the morning offering. Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Let your favor, O God, be upon these gifts, that your work may prosper in this church, in this neighborhood, and in the wider world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 536, Precious Name. may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.